Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
My friends, today our church celebrates the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. And how appropriate that our first reading should come from the Acts of the Apostles. In fact, the very beginning, chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. This passage is an excellent summary and synopsis of this great feast that we celebrate. Now, one thing that we have to understand is the author of the Acts of the Apostles is also the author of the Gospel of Luke. Now, many will say that we have to read both pieces of Scripture in order to truly understand that the author has really created one novel. The first part of the novel is the Gospel of Luke, which describes the life of Jesus Christ. The second part of the novel is the letter of the Acts of the Apostles, which now describes the life of the church. Now, it's interesting how the Acts of the Apostles begins. It reads, "In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up." Now, this author specifically is addressing a person named Theophilus. And he's referencing, in fact, the Gospel of Luke. It says, "In the first book, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up." So essentially, he's telling us that the Gospel of Luke is specifically about Jesus, his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection, as well as ascension into heaven. Now, it's interesting. This person named Theophilus, it sounds like the Acts of the Apostles is specifically addressed to and written for this one person. Yet remember, the Bible was originally written in Greek, so that the Jews as well as the Gentiles could read it. Now, Theophilus is a Greek word that, when translated, means lover of God. And so now put that meaning back into the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles and read it as it is. "In the first book, lover of God, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up." This book, the Acts of the Apostles, is specifically written for all lovers of God. My friends, this book, the Acts of the Apostles, is personally addressed to us. It has been written specifically for us because we are all lovers of God. It continues, "Jesus presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." He appeared to them for 40 days. Now, this was a period of final instruction for the apostles. Now, as I've told you before, throughout sacred scripture, you will encounter numbers. Numbers always have a sacred symbolism to them. Remember the moment in which Moses climbed Mount Sinai and he spent 40 days conversing with God before he came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. Jesus himself underwent 40 days of preparation in the desert before he began his ministry. Well, now, from the time of Jesus' resurrection until now, the time of his ascension has been 40 days of preparation for the apostles now to begin their ministry in building the church. The story continues. "While meeting with them, Jesus enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days we are baptized with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus is telling the apostles specifically, go back to Jerusalem and wait to receive the Holy Spirit. Essentially, he's referring to baptism and confirmation. Now, why does he emphasize these sacraments? In fact, why does our church emphasize the sacraments and that why that they are so important for us? Well, I think what we have to do is turn to our own catechism. The catechism specifically says, our sacraments are instituted by Jesus Christ and entrusted to the church and are effective signs of God's grace. Through the sacraments, God's divine life is bestowed upon us. It continues, the whole liturgical life of the church revolves around the Eucharistic sacrifice and the sacraments. My friends, the sacraments assist us in our spiritual progress, as well as our growth in holiness. The sacraments are indispensable in our faith life. Notice also, Jesus specifically tells them to stay in Jerusalem. He doesn't tell them, you know, go back to Galilee, the area in which we practiced our ministry, or go back to Nazareth, my hometown. Go back to Bethlehem, where I was born. No, he specifically tells them to go back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem now is the hub. It's the epicenter for all Christian life. It's the place where Jesus died and rose to new life and now is appearing to people. Yet what is Jesus really telling us? He's telling us, stay with the church. Stay in the church, in the faith community, where we receive the sacraments that help us grow in our holiness. Stay within the church, where we participate now in God's divine life. Remain in the church. Now, I'm not talking about the physical structure itself. I'm talking about the faith community that gives us life, the body of Christ, as Paul refers to it. It's important for us to, yes, remain in it, but also be an integral component of it. It is the church that helps us grow in holiness, and in turn, we must help others grow in holiness ourselves. Where is this most clearly seen? Well, this weekend. Today, our second graders received the sacrament of their first Holy Communion. The juniors in high school received the sacrament of confirmation. For the past year, we as a faith community have helped these young people prepare for these beautiful sacraments. We've helped these people grow in their holiness. Therefore, we must heed the words of Jesus Christ. Stay. Stay within the church. Next in the story, the apostles said it gathers around Jesus, and they asked him the question, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, this is an interesting question. This question is rooted in the ego. Remember now, for centuries, the Israelites have prayed and hoped and longed for a Messiah, a warrior, a militant Messiah, who would break the yoke of the Roman oppression and rebuild the kingdom of Israel, as it was during the time of King David, in which it was a political, economic, and military superpower. And so, the apostles are now asking Jesus if this kingdom is now going to be established at their time. Better yet, they're really asking themselves, as well as Jesus, you know, what's my position? Where am I going to be in the pecking order? You know, what's my position going to be? How will I profit from this? This is a question about the ambition, about the ego. Yet, how often do we say that ourselves? Yes, we do good works of charity, compassion. Yet, what is our true motivation? When we do these good works, do we say, yes, I'm going to get rewarded for this? Or my reward will be great in heaven if I do these good things? Or is our motivation for doing these great things, these works of charity and compassion, truly out of love for others? Notice now how Jesus answers the question. He says to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria." Essentially, what Jesus is telling the apostles, stop focusing on yourselves. Instead, focus on the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then cooperate with God's grace. Finally, in the passage, it says that as Jesus has said this, as he was looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight, and he ascended back into heaven. Now, this is extremely important. If there's one thing we must take from this homily today, is that the ascension carefully and intimately links both Christmas and Easter. It links Jesus' birth as well as his death and resurrection. When Jesus was born into this world, he did not leave his divinity behind. Instead, when he came into this world as a child, just like every one of us, he was born fully human and fully divine. When Jesus died on the cross and rose to new life, he did not leave his humanity or his human nature in the tomb. He did not say to himself, you know, I'm sick of this grubby human nature. I'm just going to leave it here. And therefore, when I rise from the dead, I will rise fully divine. No, not at all. When he rose from the dead, his divinity and humanity were fully intact. And now, Jesus ascends into heaven. With his divinity and humanity, he enters into heaven, and now our human nature resides in heaven also through Jesus Christ. In some ways, you could say heaven now has adopted or accommodated itself so as to receive humanity through Jesus Christ. See, now we begin to realize why this feast of the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven is so important. That's why this is much a celebration of Jesus Christ as it is for us. My friends, Jesus Christ has prepared a pathway for us that leads to heaven. Jesus Christ has cut out, trailblazed a path that never existed for us before, for all of humanity. And now Jesus Christ, through his ascension, has given us a roadway, a path for all of us to take, a path that our ancestors, our parents, our grandparents, our brothers or sisters, maybe even our children, have now walked. It's a pathway that leads to heaven, salvation, eternal life. My friends, this is what our hopes and dreams are all about. This is why we go to Mass. This is why we enter into the sacraments. This is why we perform the corporal and charitable works of mercy. This is why we have our kids attend religious education. It's because of salvation, the hope of the world to come. My friends, our hopes and our dreams have now become a reality because of Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven. My friends, this is a great celebration. Jesus ascends back into heaven. He completes his mission. He has prepared his apostles now for ministry and to establish the church in this world. Yet this is also a celebration for us all. Jesus, fully divine and fully human, has given us the reassurance that our hopes and our dreams of heaven and being with Jesus Christ in the world to come are not a fantasy, but instead something that is definitively real for each and every one of us. And may God's grace, peace, and mercy rest with you all.